Hope you're feeling fine. We're up, we're out of bed. Anyway, God is good. It's a good day. We're together. I'm always feel good when we're together. You know, you're home alone, and then you get with your friends and you see the smiles and you just always feel better. At least I feel better. Let's just say a prayer and ask God, dear God, please let your seed fall on good ground today. Hopefully our hearts have been prepared to receive your word. Bring it back to our remembrance in the time of need. Help us to live by it. Help us to glean everything that we possibly can from your precious promises in your word. In Jesus' name. You know, we're assigned the lessons. Headquarters does these Sunday school books, and they're dated. And then I guess the powers that be, they look and say, okay, so-and-so is gone, and this one's gone. And then they just put names. So you kind of like the lottery. You're like, what is my lesson? And when I looked at it, I thought, I don't know that I would have actually picked this lesson. Because I remember a long, long time ago, a young man and his wife wanted to preach and teach, and we were all sitting around the table. I wasn't paying too much attention, and they were saying, you know, we really believe this. We're going to preach this. We're going to sing this. And someone just quietly said, well, rest assured, God will give you an opportunity to prove everything you teach, everything you preach, everything you sing, and everything you pray. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do, God. Well, he's going to give you an opportunity. Abraham, he gave him an opportunity to prove his love. So when you get up here and you teach something, you're going to be held accountable to live it. And so it's a little bit frightening. And then you're going to be held accountable because you heard it. And you can't say, I didn't know. You know, it's nice when something happens. I didn't know. I'm not responsible. Or although when you drive your car too fast, I thought I was in a 70-mile zone, and he pulled me over and gave me a whopping ticket, and I didn't care how much I told him I didn't know. He was like, here's your ticket, girl. And you're paying it, whether you knew or not, you're responsible to know. $179 in West Virginia. So the I don't know doesn't always cut it. But we're talking today about joy. Joy, I lose my glasses, I lose my keys. And joy is probably the next easiest thing for me to lose. I'll be in here happy as a lark with you and go out and let somebody bump my car. There goes the joy. I mean, it's fleeting. You know, it just can come and go. And so we have to tenaciously fight to keep some of these things that God has given us in his word. And I am by nature, I'm a big person. But LeBray would probably fight better than me. I'm a coward. I'm a big person, but I'm such a coward. I had a girlfriend about her size. I think I told you about that, being at the park. I heard that guy said, come over here and talk to me. It was midnight in the park. I froze. She come over, slapped me up side of the head. Move! Run! I mean, she was like a deer. And I was after her. But I'm such a big coward. But I need to get a fighting spirit in me when it comes to the things of God and fight to keep what he has promised me and not just let him slip away. But you know, joy is the second of the fruit of the Spirit after love. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to have it in our life, and we're supposed to try to keep it and not let it be so fleeting. In Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. righteousness, peace, and joy. We're supposed to have righteousness, peace, and joy reigning in us. If we are full of the Holy Ghost, we should possess those attributes in our life. And they're never out of season. Oh, well, you can have joy, but not in the wintertime when it's cold. And no, joy never goes out of season. And so when I first opened the lesson, the first thing that came to my mind was when I was in Zurich. We had gotten off the tram, and I saw this lady. It was cold. She had a hat and a coat on, and she was lugging these groceries. And I looked at her, and I just felt this thing come up in me. Like, I felt happy. I felt the smile come on my face. There was something about her. And lo and behold, we all walked to the same building. She was going to our meeting. And, you know, there wasn't any elevators in the older part, and we were climbing stairs, and we have to, you know, you have to lug everything, computers and water and everything up the steps, and she was still smiling. I was like, hey, I'm too fat and old for this. This ain't making me happy at all. She was smiling and glowing. And we went to church on Sunday, and the one guy talked about dancing and being happy. She was the only one. She was dancing and hooping. And every time I looked at her, again, just this huge smile, I felt her joy. And so I happened to say something to the missionary wife. I said, wow, that is the happiest person or the joyfulest person I think I've ever been around. And you can tell, it just comes on you when you're around her. And she said, yeah, I know. She said, but do you know, she comes from the Congo region, and they had gathered up all of these people and put them in like a refugee camp. Her three children were murdered. Her sister was murdered. And because she knew a little English, the man who worked in the office, he brought her into the office to work with him. And he liked her, and he brought her to Zurich. And when she got to Zurich, she came down with brain cancer. And he said, I will not live with a sick woman. And he left her here. She said, when I heard she had cancer, I went to her apartment. She said, I don't think tiny is adequate to tell what she was living in. When I say tiny, I'm saying tiny. And she said, I went to visit her, and she just had that contagious smile on her face. And she said, if anybody shouldn't be happy or joyous, it should be her. And yet she exudes it everywhere she goes. Well, one night we were finishing up the meeting. Two girls wanted to be baptized. So we packed everything up, trudged it all down the stairs, waited. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I think 10:30, because we had to take the tram to the place where we were going to baptize these girls. And it was raining, so we stood underneath this little awning, and I tried to talk to her a bit. And I said something about, you're always so happy. She said, happy? No, not happy. She said, but joy in my God? Yes. Yes. She said, you know, one time I was in my apartment. I felt very depressed. I call my pastor. I say, Pastor, I'm very depressed. I have no joy. He said, sister, what are you doing that's stopping the joy of the Lord from flowing in your life? Or what are you not doing that's damming it up and not allowing it to happen? He didn't coddle her. He didn't pet her like you and I would. He said, what are you doing? He was spiritual. He was giving her something from the Word of God. He said, what are you doing that's stopping you? You had it. Who took it? Where did you lose it? Now, you need to pray and ask God. She said, I pray, I pray, I pray. And God said, I'm your lover now. You're not to have other lovers. She said, for 3 years, I slept with no men. I was happy. She said, I come down with the cancer. She said, one day I called my pastor again. Pastor, I don't have no joy in my life. And he said, again, Well, what are you doing that's stopping it? Or what are you not doing that needs to open the gates and let it flow in? So she said, I pray, I pray, I pray. She said, I don't know if it was Peter, maybe Paul. I don't know. But she said, I saw it in his word that God made me a woman. I'm just telling you a story, true story. God made me a woman. He said, I want you to talk like a woman, act like a woman, and dress like a woman. And I saw the scripture in the word of God. Maybe Peter, maybe Paul. I don't remember. Well, I was about to tell her the scripture, and here come the tram, and we jump on it with all of our stuff, and it's loud, and we couldn't talk. And we got there for the baptism, and then they had to run out because it was near midnight, and the last tram was going. And so I never got to tell her the scripture. She said, maybe Peter, maybe Paul. I don't know. So the next night, it was my turn to teach on family living. And I was to preach on Deuteronomy 22 and 5. I didn't put that on there. But when she saw the scripture come on the wall, women don't wear that which pertaineth to a man. She stood up. She turned to the lady. She said, I told you. I told you, maybe Peter, maybe Paul. I was wrong. So no Old Testament. Then she took off in French, and I really don't know what she told him. But what if you and I thought to myself, what if I'm all down and depressed? Now, I don't have half of what she has. I was talking to someone, and they said, oh, that's just like us. I said, no, it's not. I've lost my husband, but I have a house, I have a car, I have family, I have friends, I have a church. No, I'm not like her. But what if I was depressed? What if I was down? What if I couldn't get above my situation? And I called my pastor, and he didn't coddle me and lollygag with me for a while. And he just simply said, Sharon, what are you doing that's stopping the joy of the Lord in your life? Or what are you not doing that you need to do that's going to unlock the dam and let it flow? Do I have what it takes to get in prayer and fight until God shows me the answer? Here's a woman all alone in a foreign country with nothing, and she can get it. I get up on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we hear great men of God preach and teach to us the promises of God, and yet we seem like we have no clue what God has promised us or what we're supposed to do. I'm amazed that there are people that will tenaciously fight to grab a hold of everything that God has promised them. And so I'm sitting and I'm thinking, I'm going back on the airplane, I'm thinking about David encouraging himself in the Lord. You know, he'd come back from Ziklag, and there everything was burned, and his wife and his children and all of his possessions are gone, and his faithful men that love him now want to stone him. He really had nothing to have joy about, to have peace about. And yet the Bible tells us that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He had no other recourse. In 1 Samuel 30 and 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in his God. And this is what hit me. I don't know if it hit you, but I looked at it. It said, David encouraged himself in his God. He laid claim to the God of the universe that's all powerful. You know, it's like having, well, if that's your dad, he might throw me a bone once in a while, but if it's my dad, I'm going to be able, my God, he encouraged himself in his God. I'm responsible to encourage myself in my God. That's what that lady did, all alone, 3 children murdered, a sister murdered, left alone with cancer in a strange city. And what she did, she encouraged herself in her God. She knew that the God of the universe was her God. And so she prayed until God revealed to her what it was that she was stopping her joy. I read in the Message Bible, it said, David strengthened himself with trust in God. You can be encouraged when you know who he is, when you know what he's capable of doing, when you know his clout. And so why are we so despondent when we know our God and put our trust in him? He didn't attempt to go and encourage his men. You can't give what you don't have. So you got to make sure you have it yourself in order to give it to someone else. And it's kind of like on the airplane with the airbags. You know, it said when they come down, don't put them on your children. Put them on yourself first. Because if you don't have the oxygen and the whatever, you're going to faint. So get it on yourself. And so I think that it's not going to, when we talk to ourselves, it's amazing how we can talk to other people. You know, if they have a problem, oh, trust in the Lord. You know, so easy. Oh, trust in the Lord. Trust in God's timing. Rely on his promise. I mean, we've got the answer. Wait on the answer. Believe in his miracles. God's a miracle working God. You know, we know how to talk to other people. We know how to encourage other people. Rejoice in God's goodness. Relax in his presence. I don't know what you tell them. But you know, it's amazing. We have such a quick word for you and you and you when you're in your problems. But then I have a problem. I don't say the same thing to myself. I don't be spiritual to myself. I'm so pitiful. Oh, God, you don't know. I can't take it. I can't take it, God. You know, I've always told you I was Chicken Little. My husband was like, you know, I'm like, sky's falling, sky's falling, sky's falling. Tony, the sky's falling. And he'd say, are you done? Are you done? Sit down. Let's see what God says. And God has desperately had to try and teach me that through the years. That, well, the sky might be falling, but let's see what God's going to do about it. And so that's why I had a little bit of reluctance to teach this, because it wasn't something that came natural to me or comes natural to me. David was bewildered and distressed, but vowed to hope in his God. In Psalms, did I give you Psalms, Philip? Psalms 42 and 5? I'm not sure I wrote that down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, we're going to hope in the Lord. He's my hope. He's my hope. I tell you, I love when Mark sings, I've got hope. I've got hope. We've got a hope no matter what's happening. We've got hope. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember. And he goes on and he remembers all the way back what God did over here and over here and over here and over here. That's what we need to do when we're cast down, when we're heavy laden. We need to go take me back, Lord. Take me back to where I first believed you. Take me back to where I first trusted you and loved you. And oh, take me back when I called on your name and you answered. Take me back, God. I was talking to my friend that was here not too long ago, and we were reminiscing. She knows my sister. We reminisced about things I had forgotten. And she reminded me of the great miracles that God had done. And if he did them before, he can do them again. He hasn't changed. He's the same God. And I'm sure that David didn't feel like singing. But you know, he knew it was the thing to do. You do it because, oh, I tell you what, one time my husband, I had this terrible cough. And he said, trust me. Drink this and it will knock it out of you. He said, now just do it because you know you have to do it. It was horrible. It frightened the cough out of me just to think to take it. But he said, you just got to do it because it's the thing to do, no matter how hard it is. And sometimes the medicine to just worship God, which is such, we love to do that. We love, Brother Everhart, just, he makes it look easy, like it just comes natural. But sometimes you've got to fight for that. Sometimes you've got to say, I am going to encourage myself in the Lord. Now, we can surmise it doesn't tell us how he did it. But I think if we go back in his life, we can say he grabs his harp. And if he reads Better Homes and Garden, which I did at the doctor's office the other day with Abby, it said, you know, if you want peace and joy in your life, it said shut the TV and the radio off. Now, even the world's got some good sense. And so I believe he went to a solitary place. Get away from the naysayers. Get away from the negative. Get away from everything. And just get alone with your God. Now, some people say he just jumped right in there singing praises. Maybe he did. I can't judge him on me. I probably laid in there and said, God, woe is me, God. Sadness, blues, despair, and agony on him. But I know you can help me. And then I switch over. But I hope David did just have the faith to dive in there. Lord, you're wonderful. You're marvelous. You're the creator of all heaven and earth. There's nothing too hard for you. You can do anything, God. You're my God, you're my deliverer, my healer, my conqueror, my joy, my peace. You're the salve when I'm sick. You're everything. I think through praise and worship, David changed his focus. You see, many times in the Psalms he says, magnify the Lord. You know, I'm going to put the problems under the magnifying thing and try to look at God through my naked eye. Well, we're magnifying the wrong thing. Magnify God. Even at our best, we can't touch him. But when you get to thinking about how big our God, how awesome he is, how can you not get a smile on your face? How can you not feel something come up inside of you when you really get your mind on him? And let me tell you, you can stand at a casket and be bawling, and yet something, this calm assurance, a joy, not a ha, 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 but we've got great promises. When I think of what he's promised me and when I think of what he's done for me, what a difference. There's still that calm assurance and a peace and a joy that abides down in there. How can a woman be in childbirth with pain and tears and still there's joy? It can abide. It's not dependent on what's happening. On the wings of praise and worship, David's spirit lifted him above the present circumstances. And I'll say that to God. I'll say, God, lift me up above the cares of this life. Let me rest in you today. Let me just rest. They're not necessarily poof going to be gone and go away. You know, I read something too. This isn't in my notes, but I read something once where this woman prayed, and she was praying. She had some desperate needs. And she prayed and prayed. Whenever she prayed, she still had those great problems, but she had joy and she had peace and she found the good things in life. But she was praying one day again about a certain problem and she felt like God said, no. No. That's going to be your thorn in the flesh. That's going to be your Achilles. No. But you still got to go on with joy. But she backed off of praying. Next thing, everything was huge. She had problems, but now they were huge. Huge. She went to her pastor for 2 hours. I mean, the flowers were ugly. You know, nothing was right. The air was nothing but smog. I mean, she couldn't find good in anything. And he listened to her, and finally he said, well, some things we can't do anything about. But he said, there's one thing we can do. We can work on your stinky prayer life. She didn't tell him she wasn't praying. But when you get in that frenzy, when you're so out of control, When you don't like anybody, you can't enjoy if you know you haven't prayed. I used to tell my kids, you should have a gauge. I got to find one now, but a little different. But we used to live in this house, and it had the ugliest red rug. It was faded and had big bald spots. And the big bald spots were right there when I walked out of my bedroom. And, oh, you know, you could just always envision when people came over and you had this ugly red rug with big bald spots that you just couldn't afford to do anything about. When I walked out of my bedroom, if I looked at that red rug and it irritated me and it ticked me off and I'm in a bad mood, I knew I need to go right back in my room and pray. But if I could walk out and I'd be like, oh, someday this will change, then I knew I was prayed through, I was good to go. You know, you need to have a gauge to tell you, hey, get back in there. Don't let anything rob your joy, your peace. We are responsible to guard those things in our life. Now, where am I? Oh, and I'm sure that David went back and remembered the deliverer, that he delivered him from the lion and the bear and Goliath, when that was an impossibility. So now, instead of doing what he had brought him into trouble, he didn't inquire of the Lord. He didn't ask God whether he should go to the land of the Philistines and make his home there. Now he goes and inquire of the Lord and says, God, what should I do? Should I pursue or what should I do? And he makes things right. David had limited his focus to the present situation, and had he kept it there, he probably would have went into a deep depression. But we got to keep our eyes on the prize. We got to remember that we have a God that's able to do abundantly above all that we could think or ask. When my husband was dying, I could have never thought or asked for an LVAD. It wasn't even developed yet. I would have never known. Oh, let him be in a clinical study for a heart pump. I would have never known that. But it was like, God, you got to work it out. You can do it. And so you can keep your peace. You can keep your joy. In times of uncertainty, in times of upheaval, God was David's constant, because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God doesn't change. If he did it back then, he can do it today. And he can do it tomorrow if we need it. We have a great God. No matter what the circumstance, God's above it all. He's seated on the throne of sovereignty. He's a sovereign God. Nothing happens in the universe outside God's influence and authority. He's working something out for us. And so we just keep praising. And we may not feel like it at first, but we can get there. We can get there. You know, kind of like, I don't know what's wrong with me today. This ain't in there either. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to diet, they're like, no pain, no gain. I'm like, well, I'm out of here because I don't like pain. But when it comes to living for God, sometimes there's a little pain. Sometimes you got to press. Sometimes you got to sweat. But if you do it and break through, there are marvelous blessings. God, let me pay for the pain in the spirit to push and to push. And it's worth it all. It's going to be worth it all, people. It's going to be worth it all. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Someone said, be happy. It makes the devil so mad he can't stand it. Be happy. Through praise and worship, David changed his focus so that by the eye of faith, he beheld the El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Almighty. I would be here all day just to explain that. Oh, complete power. Can do anything. And we're his children. And he loves us. And he wants us to have good things. He's a good God all the time. All the time. Acts 16 and 26, I was reading about Paul and Silas singing in the prison until the earthquake opened up. But it said this. I noticed this. It said, all doors were open. Everyone's chains were loosed. And I looked at that again. Everyone's chains were loosed. You know, when you're happy, it's kind of like the saying, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. But I don't care. It's not just mama. You let one person in the house have a bee in their bonnet, and everybody's going to pay the price. Everybody's going to be miserable, but especially mama. But if mama's happy, all the losers, everybody's chains are loose. It just makes for a better atmosphere all around. If we can just sing praises, prison is not a happy place. If they told me it's going to prison, I'd probably faint dead right here and now. I'm so afraid of it, I'd be scared to death. I don't know that if I'd go in there singing like a lark, I'd be Chicken Little again. Sky's falling, sky's falling. God, do you know the sky's falling? Help me. I don't know if I'd be singing praises, but I hope I would mature enough in him by then that I would and that I could, with a sincere heart, not a plastic smile on my face, not making believe about this thing. Encourage yourself in the Lord is part of how we go about restoring our joy. The joy of our salvation. We have something to be happy about. I don't care what's going on in this world. We have something to be happy about. We have a promise. We've been sealed unto redemption. We have these precious promises. We do have some. Maybe we don't have to be giddy, but we've got a calm assurance. Everything's going to be all right. I got a hold of Daddy's hand. During the rain the other night, you know, pastor's gone, and I'm in the bed, and Harrison's like, Grandma, can I sleep with you and hold your hand? The rain is beating on my window. Sure, come on in. See, we've got a hold of something, the Father's hand. Nehemiah 8:10 said, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, when I got to clean, I hate to clean house. I hate to cook. I don't know what I like to do. To eat. But anyway, I'll put the music on so loud that probably my neighbors could hear it. Because when I'm happy and you feel that, I can get a lot done. But if it's quiet and sober, you don't get anything done. But boy, if suddenly a happy song comes on, you might even stop. You know, you have more energy than you think you do. Woo! There's something about being happy. There's something about joy. It makes the difference. Fight for it. Fight for it. Fight for it. Don't let anybody steal it. And like the little kids say, if the devil don't light it, let him sit on attack. Because we're going to fight for our joy. We're going to keep our joy. We must understand the joy of the Lord is the strength of the believer. Did I give you Psalms 28:7? I may not have, because a lot of this I hand wrote because I had the kids. Anyway, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. Whoa. We have something to be happy about. Don't let the enemy. You know, they say smile, it adds a lot of value to your face. It really does. You'll see a lot of people, they'll have it all together. And I'll say, what's missing? And someone will say, a smile. A smile. Big difference when someone smiles. The believer who can retain his joy is destined to triumph in the end, to be victorious. It's a mighty weapon in God to just let the joy of the Lord come in and strengthen you. It's a powerful principle. Joy is not just a preferred emotional state. It's a necessity. It's a necessary element in fighting the good fight of faith and being victorious. You can drag through the finish line, or we can through the finish line. I want to come hands up worshiping God with new renewed strength. The moment David began to encourage himself in the Lord and recover his joy, he began to turn the whole situation around. He was on his way to victory. Pursue, pursue. We're going to have victory, people. You know, when Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was in prison. Not a happy place. If you're down and out, read Philippians. If you need a little help, just remember he's in prison. And those circuit, like I said, were not happy necessarily. Nevertheless, he enthusiastically praised the joys of Christian living. In Philippians 1 and 3, I think through 6, I'm so sorry, Philip, that I'm a little scatterbrained today. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul prayed with joy because of the confidence he had in the anticipated results of God when he can work in your life. Regardless of where we are, we can have a confidence in God. In Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brother, I didn't give you this either, but we got to remember, no matter what's going on in our life, that we got to think on the things that are honest, that are true, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report. If there's virtue, if there's praise, we got to think on those things. Not the sky's falling, blues, despair, agony on me. Nobody's had it like I've had it. No, I serve a God. I have wonderful people that love me. I have this. Count your blessings one by one. Think on those things. You know, you need to back it up sometime. Back it up, girl. Back away from the problem. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world are going to grow strangely dim in the light of his glory, his grace, his power, his majesty. Magnify him. Stop just getting down on your problem. One step in the opposite directions can change it all. Oh, we have a wonderful God. Got to hurry here. I'm going to skip those scriptures, Brother Philip. But we can be happy regardless of genetics or circumstances. We can be happy because we have a relationship with God. And there's nothing like being in love. Oh, I tell you what, when I fell in love with my husband, you know, you wouldn't see him all the time, whole time, and he'd come in and there'd be a room full of people, so you have to be real discreet, you know. And so he'd just come by and touch the back of your head. Oh, God. Because you're in love. You know, just the slightest little touch. Woo-hoo. Don't lose it. Don't lose it with your God. The slightest brush of angel swings. Swoon over it. Relish it. Don't let people steal it from you. Don't let people rob you of that. Just close your eyes and move with the moving of the Spirit when we get in service. Don't let anything or anybody rob that from you. Oh, that's for the young. No, it's not for the young. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And we've got to close. But I read something once. It was in a book by Martin Lloyd-Jones. It was called Spiritual Depression. And he acknowledged that there are some chemicals. Clinical depression and chemicals sometimes can cause us depression. But on a whole, most Christians just don't fight for their joy. Don't fight and encourage themselves. And he said this. He said, Christians should be talking to themselves in the sense of adopting a gospel perspective of what is happening. Back it up. Look at God instead of your problem. And you'll be surprised you can find a lot of things. And then like, you know, her, she said, I don't know what's going to happen down the line. Great things. He's promised me great things. That lady in Zurich that had so many. When I think of what he's done for me and what he's going to do for me. So there's so many things. We don't have to fall into depression. In 1 John 4:4. I know you're skipping a lot. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can do it if we want to. We got to have the want to. And then when bad news comes in this world, maybe you weren't smart enough, shut the radio off, and it's bad news. Hey, we've read the back of the book, and we win. We win. Don't let him steal your joy. Don't let him steal your peace. Keep your righteousness intact. And let's go on, live for God, and have great victories in him. Then God, we thank you today for your mercy, your grace, and your compassion. Once again, for the awesome privilege to be in your house among your people, to hear your word. Make fighters of us, God. Give us a fighting spirit, that we will not allow the enemy to take one thing from us, that there will never be a zigzag spiritually in our life, but we will rise up and we will encourage ourselves in you, for you're a good God. All the time. And we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.